Blog Talk Radio.
Daylight come and me want go home.
I see a few pockets of people that ain't acting crazy. Cause I'm here alive.
Candid Frank Live.
About half of y'all motherfuckers on the hill are doing your thing. Are y'all ready to get live or what?
Candid Frank Live.
We gonna set this off right or what? It's Friday night. We'll see. I'm the cream of the crop. I rise to the top. Give me the pig.
Well, welcome to the program. A little mic problem with the studio, and that's fine. It's all taken care of. So today we'll talk about various things, and you know, we have lots of news to discuss as far as players' signings, and of course, those signings are imperative for teams' progress. One of the things we can discuss as well is that the Red Blacks just a year ago were given an opportunity to be in the CFL. And they, a year ago, came up with a name, the Red Blacks. You heard that name here first on this program because, you know, we just hear news and we share it with the listener. And that happened. Now they have drafted players off other CFL teams. They have a head coach, they have a GM, they have assistant coaches, coordinators, they have scouts. The Ottawa Red Black has arrived. And their full value for their arrival, they have created a lot of interest in the CFL, and deservedly so. They are a franchise on the go. Now, many suggest, of course, that that Ottawa franchise probably will start better than many a franchise before them in their inceptual year. And I think they will. They will have a good team this year. And I think most experts, and even those who aren't experts who think they're experts, and even those who aren't experts and know they aren't experts, will say the same thing. Now, the big news this week that I want to share with you folks is something that needs to be discussed. It's important that we discuss this, and it is MLSE, which sounds like malaise. MLSE, malaise. Well, malaise only because it's been an organization, a company that has had various franchises under their banner, representing the Toronto Raptors, not very successful until just recently. The same can be said about the Toronto Maple Leafs until last year when they made the playoffs. And they they choked. And, of course, they have Toronto FC. Now, I mentioned them last, even though they're probably the most important franchise to discuss, because they're the ones that you can heal the, you can hear the nails scratching, you know, like the person who's being murdered and buried, you know, and they're dragging their fingernails and they don't want to go in that coffin underground. In one of those horror shows, they're being dragged to their doom. And that doom is to be associated with the Toronto Argonauts. Now, it's not that doomful. As an Argo fan, I feel they should be, I think they should be happy to have the Argonauts join their fold, since, other than the Toronto Rock, the Toronto Argonauts are the only other sporting professional franchise that is that has given rise to pride and satisfaction and the feeling of being superior to other parts in the North American world. And yes, albeit only in Canada, but still number one, you know, we've been number one. The Argos have been number one recently. Last year, of course, Saskatchewan won, but the year before, the 100th Grey Cup, the Argos won. So if I was Toronto FC, I would be more than inclined to welcome the Argos in the hopes that some of that winning rubs off. And I can assure you at this point that they will be partners, and MLSC will own the Toronto Argonauts, and MLSC will in fact invite them to share the stadium at BMO Field. Now, that won't take place anytime soon. It'll take a few years, and that is because this stadium will have to be re-engineered, then redesigned, and then finally rebuilt. And the building will have to take place in regards to facilitating the ability for a CFL franchise to be part of the amusement that will be taking place there from time to time. Now, the Argos find themselves right now in a place where they're not wanted. In other words, the CFL finds itself in a place where they're not wanted, because the Toronto Argonauts are not the CFL. They're just a part of the CFL. No more important than the Hamilton Tiger Cats or the Saskatchewan Rough Riders or the Winnipeg Blue Bombers or the Montreal Alouettes or the newly minted Ottawa Red Blacks, the two Alberta teams in Calgary and Edmonton, and that wonderful team out in BC known as the Lions. And they are telling the truth this year because they are hosting the Grey Cup. You know, these people who don't like the idea that the Argos be at BMO Field, dudes, wake up. Who the heck do you think you are? I mean, really, you TFC fans. I mean, they have a lot of gall and a lot of nerve. And why do they have gall and nerve? They're telling me, an Argo fan, that I can't reside there and support my team in a place that taxpayers paid for. Who the heck are they? TFC, clean up your act. Now, one has to give Lewicki a little bit of credit because he has pulled all the levers and done all the things that he has been able to do that give the impression that he's rather intelligent and doing the right thing. Now, at this point, in this relationship that doesn't exist yet, that no one's told you about, that I'm telling you about, between MLSC and their two new children will have to get along. Or one of their new children will have to get along with the existing child. The existing child, of course, being TFC and the Argos being their new child. They're going to have to get along. And they're going to have to share a lot of stuff. Like, for example, the training facility up there by Downsview. Yeah, they're going to share that. The Argos have approved that place. They think it's appropriate. The engineers have strolled the campus that is BMO Field months ago now. And they have taken notes. They have jotted down what's there. They've taken measurements. They've taken, probably brought Bradwell there to use his engineering techniques. And he's probably mapped it all out for them, what exists and how it's going to change. Mike, Bradwell, are you going to tell us the secret? He works for PCL and he's never mind. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going to go on. And that building's going to be, that area is going to be refixed. And I've had some private conversations with fellow CFL fans discussing the possibility that, in fact, that stadium will be redesigned for the purpose of the CFL. And it will. It definitely will. There's no doubt that it will. It has to. It can't be anything else. it's going to be the home of the CFL's Toronto Argonauts, probably 2017-2018, somewhere around there. Oh, it gets deeper. It really gets deeper. And Lewicki's done the right thing. He said the right things. Now, they spend $100 million on soccer players. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm offending them. Football players. No. Football players play in the CFL. Soccer players play in the CFL. No, they don't. Football players do. Soccer players play with TFC. Sorry, guys. This isn't England. This isn't France. This isn't Italy. This is Canada. You're playing soccer. We're playing football. And I don't care what you think.
Oh, you don't play with your foot.
Yes, we do. We kick the ball off. That's how we start. We prove it's football. The first thing we do is we kick the football. So, enough about the stuff that we don't know. Football, okay. So, soccer, or I tell you what, I'll create a compromise here and show some prejudice, too, at the same time, because as soon as I thought of this in my head, I realized I was being prejudiced, and that's not nice. I was going to say we could call it European football, but really the best football is played in South America. Uh-oh. Did I offend somebody? Anyway, I digress. So basically the soccer team is going to be doing its thing, and they're not happy to be doing it within shouting distance of the Toronto Argonauts. So the Argonauts will be taking over, and we'll be there. And you know what? As a fan of the Toronto Argonauts, I will buy a season ticket, as usual, and I will be there to support my team. What I find totally emancipating, if you will, and satisfying, is the fact that they're actually going to build something. And this is what I want to tell you football fans right now. You football fans, you maniac Canadian Football League fans. Guys, I think we're going to be better. And if things are going to turn into a good thing. Hopefully it'll be winning as well for the Toronto fans. But regardless, we're going to have a decent stadium here in Toronto. And I think we're going to have an opportunity to build the fan base from the perspective of dates that are more suitable for friends, family, and children to show up for the game so that they, like I, can enjoy football at its best, the CFL. And that will happen, I promise you. This is a promise I'm making to you, and we will be there. And hopefully, God willing, if I'm alive, I will definitely be there. Being old as I am, I may not, but, you know, I only have a few good years left. Well, probably not even a few good years. I probably have a good year or two left, and then from there, it's just survival that'll be taking place. So, but you know what? I enjoy each day as much as I can. I've been kicked in the keister a few times. I've been kicked on the opposite side of the keister a few times, and I'll just bounce back as I always have, and I always will, just because life is nasty sometimes. We all have to survive it. And right now, the Argos are going through that right now. This is a low point for the Argos. And my prayers go to the people in the Argo office who really, I think this is a fair thing to say. And they've done a masterful job considering their hands have been tied. Tied by the fact that this team is in flux. So that's great. Enough about the Toronto Argonauts. I just wanted to share that information with the rest of you CFL fans because I think it's important that Toronto have a good enough team that when you get mad at them and you want to hate them, they're worth hating. And I think the Argos will continue to be worth hating for the rest of you. And I will love the rest of the teams as I've always loved them. I feel fortunate to be a fan of the CFL. Let's get to the program. Let's talk about what's going on. And enough about my editorializing. And we'll find out who's on the phones with us right now. And I'll check on Facebook if you guys want to call in or you don't want to call, you want me to call you. The hookup is a lot better if I call you. I can call as many as 50 people. So please, don't be shy to call me and say, hey, Frank, call me at this number. I'd like to listen to the show and not be interrupted by a connection. Okay, I got 9:21 is my time, and I've got your mic up. So there's two of you up here. One of you is on the barbecue, and I don't know what Mike's doing, but
I'm here.
Oh, you're here, Christopher.
I was at the barbecue when you opened the mics up, but I'm back.
Okay, good. And first of all, I'd like to say to you and Mike, you're there, right?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to say thank you for showing some support for our lacrosse show on Wednesday. Thank you for listening in and giving us a couple of comments. I know, Chris, you're too shy to discuss the fact that you're a star of lacrosse and you didn't want to, you know, answer because you didn't want me to embarrass you by reminding people.
That's not what happened. I did not have my mic set up, and when I did set up my mic, you muted me immediately. So, you know, I couldn't get back in at all. So, you know, piss off.
I muted you. What do you mean?
As soon as I got my mic on, it said muted, and I went, shit. So you pushed the button to cut me off the minute that I got my mic up, because
okay.
I was going to jump in.
Do me a favor, Chris. We're developing a new policy on the program where we're trying to avoid foul language, no matter how harmless it is, because there are some kiddies.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, good, because there's some kiddies listening, and I don't want to offend their parents okay. So I was just about to use a four-letter word, but I decided no, because then it would be too funny. Yeah, I apologize for that. If I did that, it was unintentional. I was not aware that you were muted because I honestly didn't do it.
You should have been looking at your Facebook because I was typing, like, telling you, you just muted my mic. Open it up. I've got my headset on.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, listen, Bruce wants to jump in, so I'll give Bruce a call. First of all, I mentioned about I'd like your opinion on what I talked about when it comes to the Argos. You know, I don't think they're the cat's meow as far as I'm concerned, but only for me and John. You know what I mean? And any other Argo fan. But how do you feel about the fact that they will now become part of the Maple Leafs world, if you will?
Well, I've been thinking about this for quite some time, and I think we alluded to it in the last show. I'm a little hesitant in jumping up and down about this with the Argos jumping into an organization that has absolutely been no commitment to winning, putting a winning product on the field, as in the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Toronto Raptors, at all, right? So I'm a little hesitant that they're going to go the extra mile to keep the Argos in a competitive state. If they're just going to go nah, and we're going to have a mediocre team all the time, then no, this is not what's good. And I'm really hoping that David Braley doesn't let that happen before he unleashes them.
I cannot disagree with you at all. Your statements are accurate, at least up until recently anyway. There has been a modicum of success emanating from the news pages and, the statistical analyzers and the keepers of the scores that the Leafs and the Raptors and by virtue of a couple of pickups and the spending of some money by TFC, that maybe, you know, the new ownership, which is Bell and Rogers, understands that winning could, exponentially increase profits. Would you not agree?
Well, winning always creates profits, and that's why I don't understand why the Maple Leafs, such a storied franchise, has been so mediocre for so long.
Because the people that ran the team, the Teachers' Pension Fund, is basically Harold Ballard's partners, the original partners that he had. And,
yeah.
And you know, they developed a history of losing, and they developed a lot of bad karma because they went along with Harold. The hockey gods have punished, them for not letting them win. And I truly believe that this ownership has, they have serious interest in winning. The question only to be answered is, do they know how? You know, I've never doubted for a second, for at least 10 years now, that the Leafs have tried winning. You know, they brought in Ken Dryden. Dryden showed them how to do it. They immediately got rid of him. You know,
yeah.
And that's what you're talking about. It's not just about how you spend money, how much money you spend. It's about what you do in support of that money that you spend. But then
speaking of spending money, how much more money do you want me to spend on this show, Frank?
Well, John, I can call you. Hang up and I'll call you. I wanted to call you.
Wednesday, don't call me. Tonight. Guys, did you guys get a call?
Yeah. No, I'm on Skype.
I'm throwing hundreds, if not thousands, in a year calling this guy.
John.
Hang up.
You gotta
call me.
Okay.
Call me, Frank. Just do it.
What a whiner. Is that all that guy does?
How many times have you said, man, you call people? Don't open up his ears.
Well, he's been here long enough to know that he's...
It's all right, guys.
I'm a rookie on this program.
No. The way it works is what would be helpful is for me to know that you want to be on the air. The way it helps me is for you to call me and say, or text me in Facebook and say, I want to be on, Frank. Can you call me? I don't have a problem with that.
Absolutely. You call me every week.
Well, and if you don't call me, I assume you don't want to be on. That's the truth. Or can't. Let me rephrase. That you can't be on. So... And I also need you to tell me, for those of you that want to call, you have to tell me the number you want me to call on. Because like I'm doing right now, I'm going into Outlook. And anyway, listen, I've said my piece. How do you feel, Bruce? Do you feel that the league, the CFL, from a Hamilton Tiger Cat fan perspective, do you foresee it being a better situation with the Argos being owned by MLSE, which means also they would be sharing BMO Field with their friends, TFC?
Well, as being a Ticat fan, we don't care. As being a CFL fan, I think it's going to do wonders, right? You got to look at what's the number one reason or what's the number one goal the actual owners have for the team.
Make money.
That's right. Exactly. Thank you. Right? You got to look at the Leafs. They're probably the number one making money in the NHL. I don't know what the Raptors are, but I'm just kind of Googling crap around the internet.
Well,
and
the
average attendant, even the average attendant, you know, if you can get that up. And I think if the Toronto Maple Leafs or whatever, that organization comes in and buys them, like you said, they like hopefully will, and they sustain a field to play on, a CFL field. I think it's only going to do better. It can only do better.
Well, it only makes sense. It makes sense also because you know they're a big corporation, and like I said, they're going to be sharing the same training facilities, and you know
they
only have to pay for one.
Good. They promote both teams good. Like the Maple Leafs, I always see them on TV. The Raptors, I always see them on TV. Every sports store I walk in, I see Raptors shit, and I see Leafs stuff.
Okay,
Toronto Argonauts stuff up here.
New policy on the show. Please don't use foul language.
Oh,
I've
had
some complaints.
Problem.
Some people have complained, and I have to side with them. Okay, so
you're all
forgiven. All forgiven. Let's just, we do the best we can. Anyway. Yeah, I'm sorry. I meant to interrupt you, but I didn't want to.
No.
Okay,
worries.
So obviously what you're saying is that economically speaking, it's a good idea for the Argos to be bought by MLSE from that perspective. Now, as far as the game is concerned, as an experience for going to the game, do you feel that if what they're going to do, which it is my contention, that they will be creating a football field and soccer field all in one place? It may be, adjustable to the point where the sight lines and all the wonderful stuff that makes going to a football game great, the MLSE sounds like that's what they're going to do. Knowing that, it's going to be a lot more fun going to the football game there than it would have been and is at the Sky Dome or as they call it now, the Rogers Center.
No, I absolutely agree. And I think we had this discussion last month or whatever that the Timbit field that's going down here, it's going to be the exact same. There's going to be soccer and football played on that same field. So if any one of you guys go on a Ticat's website, you can look at all the pictures of what the stadium's going to look like afterwards. And to me, the sidelines look great either in soccer or football. You're just as close. You know, I might be 20 feet further away than I was last year, but, you know, what's 20 feet? When you go to the Rogers Center now and watch a game, like you said, it's not an even playing field. Like, they have the first 20 rows cut off because if you sit there, you can't see nothing anyways.
Right, because you're ground level.
Exactly. So I think it would be a lot better having an actual stadium where you can watch football and you can watch soccer. Because soccer's only getting bigger in Canada, guys, and we all can kind of face that. When I was a kid, nobody played soccer. It was all either baseball or football. But there was hardly any soccer. But soccer has grown so much in the last 20 years. You know, it's unbelievable.
Now, how do you feel, Mike Townsend, about the Argos being picked up by a giant corporation, one that hasn't been successful until recently? Do you feel it's a good move for the Argos?
Yeah, it's a good move for the Argos because any team can get better. Any team can get better. I don't care if you were the number one worst team in the league. You know, any team can get better. Just the fact of who they bring in to manage their team after new ownership, general manager, and the players that the general manager brings in. So it's a good move because it's not like that the Raptors right now sucks. I mean, hey, they first place in the division right now.
They are.
So, and, you know, I don't know about too much about the Maple Leafs. I'm not really a Maple Leaf guy, but as far as the Raptors and Toronto, it's going to be all right, you know. Like I said, Toronto first place, and, you know, they got room for improvement. Everybody going to have room for improvement.
There you go. Now, we saved the best for last. The most sincere voice of the Toronto Argonauts, John Granger.
Argos.
Argos.
Sock basement. Well, you should know, right?
I didn't say that.
No, I know you didn't say that. The big mouth out west said that.
Oh,
he's got a lot to say all the
here
time.
Here we go.
Yeah. He likes to throw the trash when someone hangs up on the phone. But anyway, Frank, just to go back, I'll get on the Argos. If you check your messages, your email messages, you'll see that I was trying to get in touch with you. But anyway, let's go back.
I didn't check my emails, buddy. That's fine.
And just for the record, boys, Frank would be calling me even if I don't get on the air just because I like to help the guy out all the time since day one. So, yeah, I know. I think I know how it's done, Chris, out west, and I know how to do it right, and I'm just trying to get focused here so I can kind of help out a little bit vocally. I know sometimes Chris goes, he talks too much, but at least I don't comment back and say, well, I got nothing to say on this one. Anyway, so let's go back to the Argos, guys.
Shall we create a roped circle for the both of you?
I think so. I think we're on that path, I believe.
When do I never have something to say?
Oh, let's play the tape, Frank.
Oh,
let's play the tape. Let's not go there. Let's not
children,
go there. But anyway,
children,
let's go back to the
children,
Argos stuff.
Children, don't drag me into this.
Yeah, I know, eh?
Children,
that's
don't
usually
drag
a
me into this.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Like I said, I actually listened to the show after we air it once, and then, you know, we kind of break it down, Frank and I. And yeah, Chris, you're out there a couple of times, but let's not get into that. That's not either there or there.
Okay.
The Argos, great news. I think it's fantastic.
I love you, John. I do, you know. I really do love you.
I know, Chris. I know. It's all good, right? It's all good. And speaking of good, the sale, which is in its progression, as we've talked about and I brought up a million times.
Over and over again. Over and over again.
But, you know, the writing's on the wall. I mean, it's all folding out. It's done. It's a done deal. I mean, I don't know why we're kind of, you know, we're going over it again in a sense. We're saying
we're beyond now, John. To be clear, I'm not questioning you. I'm saying, well, it's a fait accompli, and assuming that it is a fait accompli, which I'm going to do from now on, what's the next step, and how good is it for the CFL? Because,
okay,
John,
how
you and I, we care about the CFL, right? We care about
how good
the Argos.
Is it?
This
how
big
good
a change
is
going to impact
it's great.
On them.
First of all, it's great, and why is MLSC so interested now? Well, because they see that, you know, give it 8 years, and they can get themselves labeled as a championship. You know, with the Argos, at least they go to the show, and when they do go to the big show, they end up coming home with the trophy. So it's a good investment because right now they're not getting that kind of coast-to-coast exposure that they like to have, label themselves as winners. Okay, so they can see the pattern. You know what I mean? 80s, 90s, 2000. You know, now we're in the teens, and you know, the track record is there. They can get themselves on that big show label, and I think that's what they're looking at. And, you know, we've heard – what's that? Yeah, and we've heard also the fact they're after the classic, you know. They want to get that stadium thing where they get the hockey in it. It's not going to happen at the Rogers Center. We all know that. So is it good for the CFL guys? I mean, you know, MLSC is a big spender. They got the media connections out there. How could it not be a good thing?
It's a win-win. And to add to what John's saying, and this is when he refers to the classic, he's talking about the hockey classic that could take place at BMO Field.
Right.
And, you know, because the idea is that it should be outdoors. And to be outdoors, it has to be an outdoor stadium. And I don't think they're going to open the roof in the middle of the winter. And they could, I guess, with the dome, I guess.
No, they're sealed.
But still.
The roof is sealed for the winter. Every winter, the roof gets sealed.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, so there's that for them to hold. That's a good reason for redoing the stadium, BMO Field. But I think more importantly is owning a CFL team in a big city like Toronto is a guarantee not to lose money. Are you guys going to start laughing at this point? Chris, do you think what I just said is funny?
I'm already laughing. It's going to
okay.
be a lose money for the first until you promote it.
It's impossible
you know,
to lose money in Toronto.
Actually, that's a good question.
Can
I
throw
have.
That in?
Many...
Can I answer Bruce on that? Let me tell you why it's not going to be a loser. First of all, the games will be.
I'm not saying it's going to be a loser, John. I'm just saying it's going to take time for any team to make a financial gain.
No,
okay,
it's going to be a jump start like you will not believe.
Can I finish with the thought? Okay, John.
I can't hear you because everybody talking over each other. I can't hear nothing.
Guys,
I don't know
guys,
what y'all
guys,
saying.
One thing at a time. Guys, one thing at a time. All right?
Please.
I asked Chris what he thinks. I asked him for a reason. Can you lose money in Toronto as a CFL owner? Chris?
Anybody can lose money. I don't think you will.
You won't, but why won't you? Here's why. And the same reason why BC will never lose money, the same reason why Montreal will never lose money.
BC almost went bankrupt. So
I get that. That was – those are the old days. Now it's not going to happen anymore because the reputation of the Grey Cup has become so monumental, so important, and such a cash cow that the teams fight over having it. And having the Grey Cup, you can make a good chunk of change. So the reason I say Toronto can't lose money is because all they have to do is have a Grey Cup every couple of three years, and the team will make money because they could lose money during the season, but the Grey Cup will make up for it all.
They're going to sell out every game once BMO
I know, John, but what I'm doing is we're talking if the team doesn't do well, there's money on the table that comes through the Grey Cup for people like Roger Sports.
MLSC doesn't want the Grey Cup money. To them, the Grey Cup money means nothing. To them, the exposure means everything. Okay?
Yeah, but John, that's the exposure is part of it. That's what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is you can't lose money in Toronto because – The media has gathered the idea finally. I think the Grey Cup, the 100th Grey Cup, the Argos won the Grey Cup. I don't think that's the most important thing that happened for the CFL. The fact that they had a great Grey Cup in Toronto where everybody thinks the CFL means nothing, is meaningless. And that what the Argos did is they proved that there's an appetite in Toronto for the CFL at Grey Cup time. And that's
if
the point I was
right.
trying to make. Yeah,
if
it's done
right.
Well, of course.
Can I ask one question, though? And you got to be truthful, 100% truthful. Do you think they would have had the same – I'm not saying the same tuna. Of course, it's going to be a sellout for a Grey Cup game. But the same amount of people that went to the tailgates and everything else if it wasn't the 100th Grey Cup. If it was the 98th Grey Cup or if it was the 99th Grey Cup, would there have been as big a turnout for the fans that actually went to Toronto?
Yeah,
okay, I'll answer that.
Absolutely, Bruce.
Without question, it's Grey Cup. It doesn't matter whether it's the 12th or the 112th.
Yeah.
It's Grey Cup. We're CFL fans, and we're going to go to the game.
No, I know
I don't
about
care
the
where
CFL
it is
fans.
Or what number it is.
Chris
the CFL
is right.
fans,
Chris
no
is,
doubt, they would go.
Chris is
but
right,
I'm talking
but Bruce,
about the people that don't actually watch the CFL like we do as a whole.
Right.
The people that tune in for the Grey Cup and all that.
Chris is right, partially. It matters because it's the Grey Cup, it's going to sell, but it's how it's done. The way they did it, and I've experienced a few here in Toronto over three decades. The way they did it this past one, it has to be duplicated that way. It has to involve the downtown core. It has to be split up. It has to be festive. It can't be dry. It can't be dull. It has to be colorful. They have to block off the streets. They have to have the stages. They have to let the city know what's happening. The tourists know what's happening. Make it a mega event like they did this last time. If they bring it back and they just kind of do a little dinky little thing, unless they do it the same exact way, it's not going to work. And in Toronto, anyways, it's going to be one of those things that gets shadowed by all the plays that go on, the concerts that are going on, or whatever. It has to be done where it's highlighted.
Well, John,
I don't
agree 100% with you. I'm in agreement more with Chris in the regards to. Keep in mind, it is the Grey Cup,
Frank,
and the Grey Cup has proven.
Were you there at the 2007 one with me? Were you down there downtown at 2007?
No.
Okay,
no.
Then how can you agree with somebody who's distant in the West Coast and somebody who lived it?
Okay.
And I'm living it 3 decades here. What are you talking
John,
about?
John, I wasn't talking. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm
well,
talking
about. You're disagreeing
about. With me. About. I didn't say I disagree with that. I said I'm closer to Chris in the sense that, but you didn't give me a chance to say how. And here's how. I am close to Chris is that the Grey Cup has I can't believe that people don't see it, but it has become more important in the past 5 years than it has been in a very long time. And the reason the Grey Cup was popular here, it's not because of the people here in Toronto, John. The reason it's popular and the reason it will be popular is because it is a national thing. And it is the people from Saskatchewan who came here, the people from Hamilton who got on the GO train who came here. All those other people, what I'm talking about is,
Frank,
and I agree with you, John, you say how it's put together. Well, yes, it has to be entertaining.
Can I ask Chris a question?
Okay,
Chris.
John, let me finish. Let me finish, please. Please.
No, it matters.
Let me finish. So at the end of the day, like you said, it's how you organize the thing as well. It has to be done professionally with entertainment in mind and not assuming that people are going to show up just because you put out the invitation. Now I'm done. Now you, Chris,
okay.
Go ahead and ask Chris a question.
I want to ask Chris. Chris, the year previous when it was in BC, okay?
Yes, sir.
And I mean, let me just tell you a few things that a few people who attended it said. It didn't compare to the 100 that they did downtown Toronto. They didn't have that atmosphere. They had one area of downtown kind of blocked off. It was in the convention centers, I believe, and the hotels where the majority of the stuff was. But it wasn't like you felt it. Okay? You know it was there because of the parade. They do all that. And then when the rest of the teams, fans show up, you know there's a Grey Cup going on. But it wasn't like the spotlight. It was, but it wasn't like I said, Saskatchewan, the Toronto thing, what they did in Regina is going to be always a big party. I think when they're going to go back to BC, they're going to go and duplicate what they did in Toronto. Watch. And I'm just asking Chris, was it a big party scene downtown?
No.
Okay.
Well, not in comparison to the Olympics.
Right.
Not in comparison
but
to
that's
the
way
Stanley
they're
Cup.
Gonna do it. But that's the way you have to sell it in BC, like you sold it in Toronto. You have to sell it.
I agree.
You
can't. John, I agree. I'm not arguing with that at all. I totally 100% agree with you. It is time that the West Coast, it's time that Vancouver woke up and appreciated our football. We have a quality team out here, and we need some more support. No
yeah.
different than what Toronto does, okay? You need more support. You have 6,200
yeah.
fans to a preseason game. That's ridiculous. It doesn't even pay to turn on the lights. Okay? We need to get support in the bigger cities. Without question, it's the big cities that suck.
Chris, I think you have a challenge in BC in itself because you guys have the good dates. I think in Toronto, once the MLSC gets the dates figured out because they have their own dates to choose from, I think you guys are not going to see these 18,000, definitely not. You're going to see, if not capacity, but definitely over 20,000 to 30,000, depending on how much they reconstruct this thing into. I don't see it dropping below 25,000 on a regular basis at BMO Field just because they're going to have a beautiful weekend date to play on. You know, they're not going to have the Thursday night before the Indy race. Okay, it's one of those things where I know it's going to be successful regardless of what people say, and just because it's got this snowball effect now with football and the media and the social media, the Argos are more of the vocabulary in people's minds and words. Look at what we're doing tonight. You know, this wouldn't have been heard of 6 years ago. So all these things are going to contribute to them getting the success that they need to get this thing done. Now, again, are they going to carry this thing where it's going to be one of the things that Toronto falls in love with again? I don't think it's needed that. I think Toronto, and I'm happy, like I said, with the 30, 40,000 that are real fans of the CFL in this city. And, you know, so be it. Whoever's not attending, you guys snooze, you lose. I'm like,
I just want to go, Chris.
I'm not arguing with that. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. And, I mean, that BC's got a greater challenge out here. I mean, our average attendance is 28,000 a game. So, you know, I don't think that that's disgusting. I think it's terrible in comparison to 55,000 that we used to have out here.
Yeah, I know.
I would love to get back to the days of 55,000 people.
Chris, that's our average here, eh? You know, Chris, that's our average here, around 20, 25, 28. That's our average here.
I don't think it's that high. I'm looking at the numbers.
Go ahead, look at the numbers.
Do you want me to actually tell you what it's going to be? Because I can go do some math and come back.
I think, Frank, it was around 23,485 or something like that. The year before, the Grey Cup year, it was 26.
You had some 18, 19, 20,000 games, and you didn't really hit it. You didn't break 30,000.
No, I know, but it kind of leverages out with the season opener when there was almost 40 there. You know, that's two games right there, you know, if you double it up with the Ticats. And
the season opener was 29,000.
It wasn't great, but then again, you know, no one's going to – we're not going to go a hash over what we talked
about
last
Chris,
year.
Anyway, Chris, all I was trying to say is that 28,000 isn't bad, because I'm happy with us getting an average. If we get an average of 30,000, I'll be happy. And happy only at this time, I'll be happy only because – it is what it has to be at this point, under the circumstances that we find ourselves with a team that's not wanted where they're playing. They're getting, you know, B dates, C dates, D dates, and dates they shouldn't even be asked to take. So
you
that's
guys had
problem.
An average of 21,926.
Okay.
Yeah. Second bottom. Second from
the
bottom.
You go, Bruce.
You
are.
Yeah.
Second from the Oh,
well, you know, there was a lot of freebies. There was three games where they gave out for college nights. Remember that one, Frank? Yeah, the university students were there.
Yeah, they had an
so
extra 4,000 or 5,000. There were as many people there as there were at the Hamilton game in the playoffs.
Yeah, but they don't count those attendants. But Frank is a guy who's at the game, so he, you know, our impression is a little bit different from what you guys see in the paper and the numbers, or even at the game. Sometimes it looks deceiving on television; it really does. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's fair to count a Tuesday game where you have 19,000 or whatever it was, to count that as part of the regular attendance. That's the point I'm trying to make.
The Raptors can't get 18,000 on a Tuesday night.
All I want to know is MLSE a good idea for the CFL? And so far what I'm hearing is a big enough organization that, you know, not too big to fail. That's not the point. But the point is what they bring is their reputation into the league, which can't do anything but help. What they did with the Raptors in the early going and still do it today, if you want to buy Leaf tickets, you have to buy Raptor tickets. That's what it's a bait and switch thing. So, you know, the attendance that the Raptors have, as John says, is a little inflated by virtue of the desire of people to have Leaf tickets. It's a good thing. Hopefully they'll bring winning, too. They won't lose how to win in the transition. But it's good for the CFL to have MLSE involved. They're a big company. They're high profile, like John said. Okay, so the Hockey Classic, they'll bring that. They can make money on that if they change the stadium. If and when they get the Grey Cup, they can make money on the Grey Cup. And I think they can handle doing the Grey Cup pretty well because, you know, they have the reach in the media to really put it out there. But it seemed to me the Grey Cup that happened in here last time, a lot of it had to do with the fact that the Argos were in it. So we all knew about it because the Argos were part of it. So, but still, I think the Leaf, the MLSE can make up for the fact, even if they weren't the home team, I think by virtue of their power in the media, you know, it wouldn't be a secret in Toronto like it was in 2007.
It's 100% wonderful for the CFL It's awesome for my BC Lions. It's awesome for every team in this league, and it will be spectacular for the Argo fans.
Yeah,
there's absolutely no doubt that this is the most outstanding thing that has happened to the CFL in the last 10 years.
And yep. I happen to think that the CFL can do fine without Toronto, because I happen to think that the CFL is bigger than Toronto.
So do I. But it's good that they're here, and it's going to be good that they're going to be a solid franchise, and it's good that they've got stability, and they've got good ownership, and they've got money behind them, and they're not a bunch of idiots that we have seen in Ottawa, in Toronto, in BC, in Calgary, in wherever.
In other times.
In other times. Not
yes.
now. Absolutely not.
Now.
We have great, stable owners right across the board.
Absolutely, and one of the greatest owners is Fraley.
I'm excited with the prospect of my league going forward in the future.
There you go. Now, unfortunately, I heard a naysayer in the background, and otherwise known as Michigan Mike.
Mike?
Yep.
Okay, Mike, elucidate, as they say on television.
And the reason I said, when you said the CFL can survive without Toronto, that's when I said, no, it can't. But this is just my personal opinion. Toronto is part of history of the CFL. I don't think that the CFL collapsed without a team in Toronto.
You're right.
But that's just my personal opinion.
No, I don't understand why you're saying it.
Ottawa was a part of the history of the CFL, and we let Ottawa fail twice.
Yeah,
Montreal
but all the television
was a part of
the
No.
That's the nation's capital. It's a deep-rooted football city, and we let the franchise fail in there twice. So don't say that we cannot survive without Toronto, because this league can survive without Toronto. Hang on, John. I do not want to see the day that happens.
I get it.
It won't never happen. And
it will never happen.
Of course it'll never happen. Of course it'll never happen. But Chris
fan.
And I aren't saying, and I'm going to speak for Chris here, we're not saying it's going to happen. We're not saying we like the idea. But we're saying that the CFL is bigger than Toronto. Just hear what we're saying. Hear what I'm saying. The CFL is bigger than Toronto. Montreal left and has come back. Montreal and Ottawa are no less significant in the CFL's history as the Argos. Yeah, there might be a little bit more with the Argos. I understand. But the more that it isn't enough to say that we wouldn't survive like we did without Ottawa and Montreal. So, you know, the league is Canadian. And as long as it's in Canada and it's Canadian, it will survive. The Argos will never go because of what I just said. They can't. We can survive without Toronto. But it won't go because Toronto knows that. Toronto doesn't want to be a non-part of the CFL. Somebody will save it. Somebody will make it happen. And eventually somebody's going to take advantage of what they've got here. And I think MLSE has seen, they've seen the writing on the wall. They know that the CFL can survive here. They know it'll work out.
What you just said just happened. David Braley saved this team from the brink of extinction. Okay?
Exactly.
He did. Without question, he saw the need for this team to survive. He went
he was
to
right.
bat, he pulled out his wallet, and he made it happen. Then he's found a stewardship for this team for the future going forward.
Yep.
And he's made a pretty good choice.
And he's made a damn good choice.
Exactly. You know, I may not be an MLSE fan. I may not be a Leaf fan. I may not like them because they're too big a company. But the fact remains, I have to set aside my selfish, opinion and think what's best for the team that I choose to cheer for, being the Argonauts. And if MLSE is willing to come in and do what it takes to make this team continue existing, then I cannot do anything but shake their hand and clap for them and say thank you. Sorry, that's
thank
just
you.
The way it is.
Can I mention something,
yep.
Frank, just to the listeners who sometimes, you tune in partial through the show. We got Frank, Bruce, Chris, and Mike, and myself here. And there is no breaking news that you guys maybe missed out on news on the sports networks that the sale has been made. We are talking in the hypothetical sense, but more or less in the 99.9% that we're just waiting for the announcement to be made kind of sense. So anybody who tuned in late or is tuning in, You know what I mean? Sometimes I tune in and I'm going, what happened, guys? I didn't hear that anywhere. I'm thinking,
well, that's
you guys are talking.
They're not John, if people want to know what's going on in the CFL, they have to tune in here. You know, we don't have a political reason to shut the news down. You know, we're not looking for the perfect news day to mention something that we know happened. We just mention it when it happens. And I am of the, you know, if it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck, it smells like a duck, and it cooks like a duck.
It quacks like a duck.
And if John calls you and tells
like
you it's a duck.
It's a
and
duck.
And if John calls you and tells you it's a duck.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no more swearing, right?
Right.
No more.
Okay.
Right. Duck that.
Well,
no, John, no swearing, please.
I said duck.
Okay. Okay.
Duck that.
And okay, I thought you just told me to duck myself. Okay, so you know, it's a fait accompli only because there's no other way to go with the Argos. This is it.
Yeah.
They need a field. They need an owner, you know, and all the solutions are pointing in that direction. And it's a good deal for, again, it's a good deal for
the There's nobody else coming to the plate.
No, nobody. Nobody.
There's nobody else there.
Not with the stadium money, anyway.
And let's remember too, nobody that has the history to have to do what should have been done in the first place. And guys, I don't know how aware you are, but BMO Field should have been at its inception, been the home of the Argos and see at the same time from the beginning.
We can thank the two Davids for that. The two Davids who owned the team. They were the and sorry, Keith Pelly, but you were the part of the mess up there too. You guys went all gung ho on wanting to be the ones to do it yourself. You didn't want to participate in the city doing the stadium together. They wanted to do their own construction. They wanted to lay them themselves, as you know, on the stadium, the two owners and the construction company that one of them owned and stuff. And Keith was pushing this thing. We got to get the stadium for the Argos. Yeah, yeah. And then once the real estate disappeared, once you, York dropped out of the picture and UFT dropped out 2 years prior to that, then they all of a sudden said, you know what, I guess we can't own this team. I guess we can't. Unless there's a stadium thing, everybody knows if you're going to buy this team, you can't own it for any duration or period of time without losing money or keeping it for at least 3 years without having to let it go. Because it's not worth it. It's one of those things where you're losing money all the time. Every owner who came into this picture came into it promising, first of all, a dollar rent at the Rogers Center. I think that's why that guy Schwartz, who owned it back in 1999 to 2002 or whatever, he got it because he got it for a dollar rent, okay? And that disappeared, all right? And now always something changed over. Guys, the only way it's going to work is if they got their own stadium, like Hamilton.
Yeah, we all know that. We all agree. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. And you know, that's the way it is. Okay, I've got another caller in here. I don't know if they want to talk. Hello.
Hey, guys, what's going on, man?
No way.
Vanessa!
What up?
Man, I tune in and, like, all I'm hearing is Argos are being sold or something. I'm just like, whoa, what's going on, man?
Yeah, man, they were sold to the Hamilton Dykes.
That's nice. No, but seriously, what happened? You guys got to let me know.
Nothing. It's pure speculation on our part.
Oh, someone's clicking.
Well, okay, hold on. No, let me just refresh Manessi on everything. Manessi, this is what's going on, okay? Lewicki, the MLSC president, just came out earlier this week and broke the bank for the TFC fans who were crying, we don't have a team, we don't want to give the Argos a chance to be part owners, blah, blah, blah. So he went out and spent more than they spent on Beckham and the whole nine yards on an MLSC team, getting players on the team. Over $100 million combined with the three guys and all that stuff, okay? So they're really buttering up the TSD fan base to prepare them for the next set of news that they're going to release. The next one's going to be they got the idea for the BMO reconstruction, you know, design or whatever. Included with that design will be the purchase of the Argos. So they're kind of laying it out all now. And because in the Argo office, they have been very, very quiet to their own staff, okay? More or less, you know, not even telling them really what's going on. And when they're telling them, we're not telling you anything now because there's nothing to say, means there's something to say, but it's just a matter of the strategy of releasing it is in play. and we can't even do it internally in the office because, you know, everybody in the office, their job's on their line. And the first thing they're going to do is they're going to call their girlfriend and wife and say, we were just bought. And she's going to call the mother, who's going to tell the brother, and then the guy says on a 690 news and says, hey, the Argos were sold, you know. So they're keeping
right.
it mum. And this is why we're the TFC guys who joined the team, and now with all this stuff circulating, you know, with the Argos, it's up in the air. We've had a couple articles in the last week or so brought up. I think a couple of you guys posted it on the CFL is the best league in the web, your Facebook page. I think you guys did it too, if I'm not correct, Chris and Mike. Did you guys post an article about Loicki mentioning it?
Yep, definitely.
Okay. So with the only reason I'm saying that is because, I mean, I say you read those articles in the post there. So if you saw those, all those combined with the player signing this week kind of tells you it's in play. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing this. They got to do it because their TFC season opens up in April. Their ticket drive, season ticket drive, starts now. So they want to get everybody on board so they don't have anybody jumping ship, pardon the pun, when they start saying that they're going to share the stadium in a couple of years with the Argos. So. And by the way, guys, TFC is going to have to go play somewhere. And guess where they're going to play? At the Rogers Center. Yeah. Isn't that funny? A place where they say, we can't play. But you know what? They never complain. These so-called diehard fans, which I am I'm a TFC fan too, guys. But I'm not that type where I'm not that certain core. I'm not going to mention them. I'm trying not to. I'm biting my tongue. But a
go
certain
ahead,
core of
John.
Them. No, I'm not going to mention them.
The scarf-wearing guys.
Nah, not even, I'm not going to mention them. A certain core of them feel that unless it is in their home, in their grass, in their turf, it's not football, their style. But they have no problem when Milan plays, you know, somebody from England in a friendly. They pack the place with 45,000 and aren't screaming outside saying, we can't play on this turf. We're not going to watch a game, you know. But all of a sudden, because it's, you know, the Argos wanting to move in, now we can't share the stadium. So I'm going to say the sale hasn't been done, but the writing's on the wall with all these player signings for TFC. That's what we're kind of talking about it more seriously.
Any questions, okay. Manasseh?
Wow. Nope, that sums up everything.
All okay. right.
So basically,
7:01. We've got an hour on the Argos. Can we go somewhere
well,
else?
Well, it's not really the Argos, but okay. Well, we can call
it's
it the Argos.
It's the league.
What up,
Manasseh?
What's up, Michael? How you doing?
I'm all right, man.
So let me know. Has anything happened with Zach Caleros yet? Is there anything new? Because
no.
From
yeah,
what
he
I
got
can tell,
signed,
he's
that he got signed by truck. The he got signed by the Colts.
What?
Are you serious?
Of course I'm
no.
kidding. Luck's my favorite.
Kidding. Nothing happened to Caleros. Nothing.
No, right. Nothing's going to
so
happen with Caleros until February
so
15th.
Anything?
He's still under contract with Toronto until free agency starts on February 15th, as Frank has said. So we're not going to hear anything there unless Toronto releases him. And I don't see that happening.
And I don't see that happening either because they'll want something back.
Yeah.
So do John or Frank have any inside info as far as anything the Argos are saying about where he's leaning to go to?
He's going to Hamilton.
He's going to Hamilton.
No, he's not.
Going
yes,
to
he
Hamilton.
Is.
No, he's
going
not.
To Hamilton.
No, he's not.
Yeah. I don't know what you're basing that on, Bruce.
Okay. I'm basing that on Henry Booth is still signed as a tight cat. That's what I'm basing that on.
Until February 15th when he goes to Winnipeg.
I don't know. It was re-signed.
So Bruce, you don't
he
think it's
not
a re-signed. Problem? Or does it, at least not a sign that they still haven't re-signed Burris? Like, if they really wanted him to be their quarterback, shouldn't they
I can't speculate
like
in anything,
the
man. They haven't
Nailed
re-signed
it.
Anybody but Rico Murray so far. You know?
Yeah,
but I mean, like, we're talking about your face of the franchise, your quarterback who just took you to the Grey Cup. Like, if Ken Austin really wanted Burris, he would have already had him signed.
Nailed
I'm
it.
Imagining that's kind of weird.
We don't know what's going on in the private businesses, you know?
We do.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
I don't think
as a
Ken
businessman,
Austin
I would have had him
Burris
locked up, signed up before long ago. There's no way if Burris was going to be the head of that franchise this year,
Bruce,
he would be under contract.
Bruce, let's try it a different way. Let's try this a different way. The point, I guess, they're trying to make, and I'll try and do it in a way that maybe
I know what they're
be more
to
helpful.
Make, Henry Bruce
No. Bruce,
coach,
I want to try it a different way. Bruce, I want to try it a different way. You have a lot of respect for Bruce, right?
Well, sure I do. Absolutely.
Right? He's the guy that you want to be quarterback for the Hamilton Tiger Cats next year, right?
For another at least 2 years. Absolutely.
Then why wouldn't you sign him? Then why wouldn't you sign him? If it was you, why wouldn't you sign him?
I would, but I'm not.
So the
not
point the guys are trying to make is the fact that they haven't signed him, the fact that they haven't signed him shows that the team doesn't have as much respect in his ability as you do, quite frankly.
Huh?
You know, I'm not disagreeing with you. You get what I'm saying? I'm not disagreeing
with
you.
But I'm not going to be saying he's going to be playing in Winnipeg before he's signed. As far as
I know,
he's a tight cat.
That's cool. No, that's cool. That's where opinion meets fact, right? The fact is they haven't signed him yet. So he could end up in Winnipeg. But it isn't a fact that he's going to end up in Winnipeg. Our friend Kolaros here in Toronto is not with Hamilton. The fact is he can't sign until the 15th. But the fact that he hasn't re-signed with the Argos means that he could sign. You see, this is all we're saying. It's all speculation. I hope you're right. I hope they make you happy by having him and Kolaros on the team. I hope that makes you real happy. But I truly believe that Kolaros is going to Hamilton. That's what I believe. I don't have any reason to suggest other than it makes sense to me because Kolaros would do well to be coached by a guy like Austin. And if I were Kolaros, I like Southern Ontario. I like the area. If he likes around here, he's not moving that far away going to Hamilton.
No. There's only, if I was Zach Kolaros, there's only three teams in the CFL that I would want to play with right now. And one of them is definitely out of the question. So, you know, BC, Calgary, or Hamilton. And
I would include Ottawa. Kolaros could have done well to be in Ottawa.
He doesn't have the mentors that Dave Dickinson or Kent Austin.
I hate to break it to you all. Okay, I hate to break it to you all, but Kolaros' new agent that he got before the new year started fired the other one after the old season. Is persuading him, like I said earlier a couple months ago, to go tap his toes in the NFL market. Now, I know pipe dream, okay? But that's what's playing out right now. The Argos have that tendency to do that. You saw with Inman. They will let the players have their opportunity to let them, you know, give their families a better livelihood if possible. And the chances here that Kolaros going in the
But John, they only do that when that guy that you're talking about is ready to sign a contract in the NFL.
No, they don't always do that, Frank. No, first of all, they're already doing it to him right now, Frank. I'm sorry to break the news to you.
Are you telling me the Argos had no reason to believe that Inman had a contract in the offing in the NFL?
Frank, let me tell you how it works, okay? Inman was released. Okay, there was not a contract issue of him having to be re-signed. So that's the two different stories here. With Kolaros, if you want the player, you're going to sign him. If you want to give him an opportunity to get feelers out there, you let him go until he wants to come back to sign back with you.
No. But John, you don't release him. You don't release him. The problem where you and I have a difference of opinion, John. You release him if he tells you I've got a contract and you have an agreement with him, which we don't
There's
hear about. That
release. Inman had a contract, okay?
Inman was released by the Argos, and then he signed in the NFL.
Right?
Yes.
How's that got to do with Kolaros? Kolaros is a free agent. He's not signed.
The reason that Kolaros is going to test the NFL market because a couple of NFL teams talked to his agent and said, If this situation works, we want to sign your client. That's the only reason why these guys go talk to the NFL. If their agents didn't get contact from the NFL, these guys would be going. Zach Kolaros would have been signed a contract. He's just trying to see what's out there for him in the NFL market. That's all.
Anyway, the only point I was trying to make is the Argos are not going to release a player if they don't know for sure he's going to sign with the Argos, because if they release him, then another CFL team can pick him up, which is not what they want. They're doing it's like a goodwill gesture that they're doing. And when they release guys, I think he's the second Argo, right? Isn't he the second Argo that signed with the NFL?
This year?
Yeah, I think last year was what's that defensive lineman, Armand Armstead.
Exactly.
Yep, Armand Armstead, right? Yep.
They released him. They released him, and then he signs a contract. But I think they know he's going to sign a contract, and it's the same way Campbell got a job in Ottawa. Calgary doesn't say they want to let him go. They don't. But if he can get a job offer that fits their agreement in their contract, then they have no choice, so they just say, oh, well, you know, we let him go. Well, no, the guy had an escape clause that allows him to laterally move or with improvement in his case, with a better position. So, you know, I mean, the Argos aren't stupid. They're not going to release somebody for another CFL team to pick him up. Now, you know, that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
You know, they're going to release a guy that they know is going to the NFL. You know, and that's the way
but
it has
the thing
to be.
Is, you know, I think the thing that lets us know, I think that Claros won't go to the NFL, is when Travis Soule was a free agent, I think, was it a year ago or maybe even the year before that, this is him coming off a Grey Cup year, MOP. There was no NFL interest at all in him, right? There was none. There wasn't even one team in contact. Now, Travis Soule at that point is double the quarterback Claros is now. So if he got no interest, they're both the same size. Lule's got a better deep arm, more accuracy. He proved himself winning a championship MOP. If he didn't get any NFL interest, there's no way Claros is going in the NFL.
But you know what, man, I say? Lule signed that contract with BC, actually, Lule had a couple of teams interested in him. The Seahawks want to bring him in, and I think the 49ers want to bring him in, because actually he was on the Seahawks roster three different times before he went back to BC.
Those were workouts, though. We're not talking about actual offers.
That's
NFL
correct.
They work out anyone that's got enough football experience. They'll give you a chance. Like Corey Sheehan gets a workout. But we're talking about we're talking about legitimate offers and serious interest.
Chad Cackers got a workout last year with the Jets.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, and Lule just said, no, I'm not going down that road again. I've been there, done it, tried it, seen it, got the T-shirt, and I'm happy with my stability in BC. And good for him. And I think Caleros is barking up the wrong tree if he thinks he's going to go down south of the border. He needs to play up here for a year or two and get some serious reps and get some trophies in the trophy case before he thinks he can go down south.
I just
but
find
you
it
know
laughable.
What though the thing about it is it depends on what situation and what team he goes to.
Mike, but don't you think, Mike, the point is that first of all, he's only a backup. No offense. I like the kid.
Right.
I think he's a great quarterback. And I think what Manasseh's getting at, he's not saying this, but I think he means to. And that is that a starter with a great reputation has difficulty going from the CFL to the NFL. A backup? No, I don't think so.
It's not going to happen. If he goes to Hamilton, absolutely lights it up, and Hamilton walks into BC in November and pulls the Grey Cup home back east, which I actually think that they have the possibility of doing, that changes that Caleros' value
a difference.
All over the place, right?
That makes a difference.
He needs another year or two in the CFL and has to absolutely light it up, and then he has some potential. Until
Warren
that happens,
Moon took forever
he's going
to get
to Hamilton.
There. Look how long it took Warren Moon to make it in the NFL, to get to the NFL. What that guy accomplished to get to the NFL. Joe Theismann, what did he have to do to get to the NFL? It's impossible. It's laughable, really. If you think that Caleros is going to get a job in the CFL, the NFL, having not started a season as a starter. I don't think so.
As a quarterback, it'd be different if he's a light him up running back and he gets put onto special teams or something. But as a quarterback, no, it's not going to happen.
Oh, for sure. You're right. You're 100% right. To be a punt returner, kick returner? Absolutely. There's been a few CFL players that have been awesome punt returners, kick returners that have made it to the NFL.
Chris Williams.
I mean, come on.
We get it. We get it. But a quarterback to compete with guys like Peyton Manning? Come on.
Not going to happen.
Come on. I mean, the NFL right now is probably in the best position it's been as far as quarterbacks concerned. They have a lot of – I can't remember the last time they've had this many great quarterbacks. Even. This kid, Russell Smith, Seattle. Yeah. He played here in Toronto this year against the Buffalo Bills. They're jacked. The competition at quarterback position in the NFL right now is just – we talk about backups in the CFL. Shit, the starters. Sorry, Frank, you just broke the rules. You know. You know, I just don't see Kolaros going in there as a backup. Whoever's given that information is going to make it hard. Is going to make it hard for him to get a contract with a CFL team because they're always going to look at him like he's looking into the other backyard. You know? So I don't think it's a good idea. He should sign with somebody, play here, do what he can. He's here now. Prove that he's a top-notch quarterback and move on to the NFL at that point. Otherwise, he's just doing what Kackert did last year. They just said, come here, we'll check you out. Great. How did you like your visit here? And I don't know the whole spiel that Christopher said, but that's what Kackert came home with the T-shirt, too.
What happened out west?
With what?
Weren't there some signings out west?
There are lots
earlier
of signings
in the week.
Out west.
We got overshadowed by all the TFC stuff that we've been plastered with for the last 3 days here. I know something happened on Monday, and I can't recall.
Well, Joe West
Calgary,
got signed.
Was it the
Calgary
was it the
is lighting it up by signing
by Mitchell
people.
Extensions? Or?
Tate. Yeah, okay, Tate. That's right.
Taj Smith got signed.
Yeah,
that was a good one. I tell you, a lot of Saskatchewan fans have to be really happy with the fact that Taj Smith signed up. Well, that's right?
That signing is good if he doesn't get his buddy thrown in jail.
That was a good signing, man. That's a great signing.
They couldn't
lose him and Weston Dressler.
Yeah, that's insurance right there. They had to.
Exactly what I said, though, guys. His court date is not till February 27th, and he is looking at 14 years. So
he
going to
get 14 months
of
probation.
14 years. You know,
hang on.
You about the whole
okay,
case
and
thing.
You got
you the
got
one that the last time we talked about this, you said about like, oh, you know, who are these guys picking fights? These football players trying to fight regular people. The thing you didn't talk about was the size of the guys we're talking about. We had Dwight Anderson and Taj Smith, right? These guys are like 5'6", 5'7", maybe 155, 160 pounds at max. So there's a higher probability that the reason the guy was even willing to fight with them and, you know, talk whatever he was saying to them, because these are small guys. You know what I'm saying? These aren't, you know, these guys are linebackers. I'd be like, okay. But
I don't care whether he's innocent or guilty, okay? All I'm going to tell you is that in Canada, we have two different charges. One of them is simple assault. You and I get into a disagreement in the bar, and I slap you aside the head, you fall over and you hit your head. I am charged with simple assault. And I may go to court, I may not, I may get community service, I may spend 6 months in the clink, okay? But after an investigation of 30 days, the Crown Prosecutor, Crown Counsel, applied the charge of aggravated assault. That is the Canadian concept of attempted murder. Okay? That is serious infliction of injury onto another human being that caused bodily harm. That is what they are charged with. It's aggravated assault. It is not an assault charge that you would have in the United States. This is an extremely serious offense in Canada. And it has an up to 14 years conviction in it. I'm not going to say they're going to get 14 years, but I'm saying that this is not going to be a slap on the wrist if they are convicted. Their careers are over. Okay?
Maybe,
and that's
know,
what
saying,
everybody
like,
does.
It,
that's what everybody thinks. What?
Right.
Think about
the writers, clearly, they're going to know the case. They know the details. and they're not going to resign this guy to a 2 or 3 year contract if they don't know for at least for almost a certainty that this guy is going to get either dismissed, it's going to be a light charge, it's not going to be something serious, because they're going to do the due diligence to find out how serious this is and if he's really charged. I mean, come on,
are you a businessman?
It doesn't matter if they get jailed, they're not going to have to pay the contract. So
are you a businessman right now, Manasseh?
Oh, okay.
Are you? This is extremely good business to sign Ty Smith when his future is in such jeopardy and question. You would get him for a hell of a lot less money that he would agree to right now to get signed up than after he beats this case. After he beats this case, then he's all...
I think, honestly, he's coming off a great cup win.
He wants a whole lot more money.
I think he, in this situation, is probably innocent. I think the guy that's going to get charged and is actually going to be the guy we find out who's actually the responsible for almost everything is going to be Dwight Anderson. Just if you base it on just the way these guys conduct themselves, I'm willing to bet $1 million that it's Dwight Anderson that instigated it, caused the fight, did the most damage, and is probably going to get the one who's going to get the heaviest punishment. That's
no
why
argument.
No mention about him getting an extension.
Hey, how come you guys say, how can you guys agree on that? Is there some information that I'm unaware of?
Well, we just know that Dwight
Smith
is an idiot.
If you look at the way the two guys' character, Tosh Smith is a quiet.
Oh, okay, I see. Okay, you're inferring from their regular behavior that it's consistent with what you're talking about. Well, but you know what, Chris, it doesn't matter. Look, the guy's not guilty until he's proven guilty. Just because somebody's you can't be guilty by accusation.
I agree with that. All I'm trying to say is
good.
People do not appreciate or respect the severity of the charges that have been laid against them. If this was simple assault, it would be a laughable matter.
Yep.
Okay? And it is not a simple assault charge. And that's actually the term. It's called a simple assault charge, and there is aggravated assault. An aggravated assault is the Canadian equivalent to attempted murder.
Wow.
It includes attempted murder. So this is a very and extremely serious charge.
Okay, well, regardless, they signed Taj Smith. If something happens, he ends up in jail. I don't think they'll be forced to pay his contract. So, and like you said, I can't disagree with the idea that he wasn't dealing from a position of strength, because, his name is a little bit tarnished by the situation. Earlier, if we can move on to discuss the Ottawa Red Blacks, how do you think they're doing, guys? I mean, just a year ago they were looking for a name. And as John knows, we mentioned the name here before anybody else did, but that's because, we knew it was a dumb name and we knew Ottawa would pick it. No, just kidding. Ottawa's done a lot in the past year. They're building their stadium. They brought in, a GM. They brought in a team, a coach. They went through the draft. They're signing free agents. Where do you think they're at right now? If you were giving them a score, an A, for anywhere from an A to an F, each one of you, John, you first, what would you score Ottawa as far as what they've done so far in their new life?
Oh, compared to what other teams have done when they started up things, I would say much better. I mean, Frank, I'm not going to give them any hope. Seriously, sorry, Ottawa fans. I'm sorry. I apologize. But, it takes a lot than just putting the players on a team together to make things work. A lot. And they're not gonna get things up and running the way we think with a 3-0 start or even a 500 start halfway through the season. I think some of the you fellas mentioned about, I think it was Chris who mentioned about their record, is going to be dismal. It's, maybe 5 wins in a year, maybe 6. I think we did talk about what teams they might be able to beat depending on where they play or whatever. I don't. Frank, anything that they've done to get it going is great. They've picked some good names out there. They put their team together somewhat. I don't still see a team. Is it complete yet?
Well, put it this way. Looking back at all the other expansion teams,
Oh, this is night and day. The CFL is doing it right now. I mean, this is the way to do it.
if one were the worst and 10 were the best, in the world of expansion, where do you think they'd be? Will they be the best expansion team in recent memory in football?
I think they will probably be the most solidified expansion team. Maybe not the best when it comes to the on-the-field performance, but they're going to be solid, meaning that they're not going to have this off-the-field joke going on with the owners and bringing in, you know, drug-offensive NFL players who've had history of crack cocaine and stuff. And, you know, all these things are not going to be part of the CFL and Ottawa Red Blacks. I think they're going to be more solidified.
Yeah, okay.
The way their team is right now, sorry, Frank, I'm just jumping in.
No, go ahead.
I am really impressed with what the Ottawa Red Blacks have done and what they have accomplished in the year. I am with John on this. I don't think they're about to come out here and light up the league. Toronto and Hamilton are sitting much better in the East, and so is Montreal, than what Ottawa is going to be. I think they are in a much better position than what Edmonton and Winnipeg are at this point in time coming into the 2014 season. And I think they won't be the bottom of this league, but they are certainly not going to be in the top half. But I'm extremely impressed with everything that they have done.
Wouldn't it be fair to say, because all I'm hearing when I listen to what John said, wouldn't it be fair to say that if we use Edmonton as a gauge for a team that doesn't do well statistically but does very well, but really a much better team than their record indicates, and that would be maybe a template to consider Ottawa, that they will play well, but unfortunately statistically they won't look so good. Is that then, John, what you're saying basically?
Basically, Frank, you almost nailed it. I'm trying to, you kind of walked into something which I wanted to walk into was, guys, we got Edmonton out there, a team who's been around with good players on it, good coaching staff, let's say, and you know, they're struggling. And now here we're expecting Ottawa to come out of the gate doing better than teams like Edmonton. I think so.
They will.
Do you think Ottawa's going to do better than Edmonton? No, I don't think so.
How about Winnipeg?
Edmonton was a 4-14 team last year, and they have done nothing to improve their team at this point in time. They brought in a rookie coach that did not do well at his last outing, and he's got an arrogant chip on his shoulder that he wants to go in there with a god complex. And that
does
not
make good
chemistry.
I'm just going to say they're going to do better than Ottawa. I think Ottawa is going to be at the bottom.
I don't. We'll disagree on that one.
I
think Ottawa is going to do a lot better.
If they're playing in the Eastern Division, which they will be, there will be no Winnipeg, there will be no Edmonton in that division, and they haven't told us yet what, as we've discussed previously, what the schedule will look like. Will it be heavier playing your division, or will we be playing more equally across the, you know, East and West? If, like we discussed before, and I know, Chris, you agree with this, the more heavily the schedule is balanced, more against the East, the more difficult it's going to be for Ottawa to make any kind of progress, because they need a chance to play Winnipeg and Edmonton to get a few more wins than maybe some people think they'll get. Fair?
Well, correct. I mean, that's going to happen. But if you look at it, they're not going to come and light up Calgary. They're not going to light up BC. They're not going to light up the Riders. They're not going to light up Hamilton, Toronto, or Montreal. So they can only go in there and play havoc with Edmonton and Winnipeg. And at best, that's going to be four games out of the season.
Which
the problem is,
like,
is that Edmonton and Winnipeg don't have anybody to beat up on each other.
Well,
right?
And it sounds like next year is going to be a year where we're going to have a few haves and a few have-nots.
I think so. There's going to be disparity in the league.
Now, hopefully that won't be a bad thing, but unfortunately that's what happens when you have teams in transition. Ottawa, by virtue of being an expansion team, Winnipeg, who are, in my opinion, who are throwing away next year by virtue of the way they're behaving this year and what they've done in this off season. I don't see them concerned with winning that much immediately. Anybody agree or disagree with that?
They're two rookies. Too many rookies.
And we're talking management rookies.
We're talking president. We're talking GM. We're talking coach. We're talking OC, DT, and most of the staff. They don't have a quarterback yet.
And that's the worst thing that we can say, if they don't have a quarterback.
Those are the nicest things that we can say.
Those are the nicest things we can say about them. Okie dokie. All right, so Ottawa right now, at least then what we're saying then is, I think Ottawa is going to do better than, let's say, Winnipeg. Not so much better than Edmonton, though. I think Edmonton and Ottawa will have very similar records. My faith in Edmonton last year was obviously ill-founded. I'm disappointed that I was wrong about that. I'm hoping that Chris Jones, not Christopher Jones, but Chris Jones can show that he can make some moves. As yet, he hasn't shown any, which I find scary. They've literally, like Winnipeg, have done very little, if anything. And the teams that are doing stuff are the teams that did well last year. Calgary signing their people. Saskatchewan is. Toronto is not that busy either, but they've signed people. Yeah, no, but I'm saying, but they're not that busy, but they've signed people. You know, and I just don't see. Montreal's done pretty well. They brought in some new faces. Hamilton's brought in new faces and brought in old faces as well. And I just don't see those teams that seem to need the most change are doing less. Why is that, guys? I don't get it. Like, why aren't Edmonton, Winnipeg making more noise?
Edmonton has a GM that is no good, and Winnipeg has a GM that doesn't know what he's doing.
No, boy, I mean, Chris, you can't say that. You're saying a little too much there. I mean, come on. Kyle Walters has been an assistant GM now for about 5-6 years, so you can't say he doesn't know what he's doing.
You know who Winnipeg should have had as a GM? Winnipeg should have grabbed Eric Tillman.
Oh, come on, man. You guys
are kidding. I think these teams are just waiting for free agency to come around. They're gonna make some noise. They just want to see who's going to be the best available to fit the mold and fit the scheme of their team. Just like Ottawa going to do the same thing when the free agency come around. That's the reason they're going to be better than some of what people think they're going to be.
Yeah, but Ottawa's not waiting for free agency, though, Mike. What makes Ottawa?
No, they're not waiting for free agency. They're making moves, but what I mean by that is, when the free agent market hit, believe me, they're going to still make a splash because some of the guys that they done picked in this draft is not even going to be on the team. Some of these guys that they done signed, these first players ever signed by Ottawa, like the ones they signed before the expansion draft, not even going to be on the team.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. I got you.
Teams have, 72 people? Usually at the team plus the practice roster plus whatever else. They got 50 people under contract with free agency coming up and everything. Ottawa had 24 people.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I even said that myself a few weeks back. I've been saying that myself, so I should remember that as well. Yep.
They could sign 40 people before free agency comes and still light it up in free agency. Everybody they're signing right now is really irrelevant.
Yeah, it really is.
Well,
not all of them. You got to stay big picture, right? If you're talking about just on the field, sure, they're probably going to struggle. But if we consider everything off the field, how much money they actually make, they'll probably be in the top end of the league. I mean, they'd probably be ahead of all of
Toronto.
They're going to be ahead of Toronto. They're going to be ahead of Montreal. They'll be ahead of Edmonton. They're going to be ahead of Calgary. And that's it. Yeah, they'll be right behind BC, Saskatchewan, and Winnipeg. And Hamilton, and so they'll be number four. So that's a good year.
They might even beat up Hamilton. They might even beat up Winnipeg.
Hamilton with their
money.
New stadium, they're not beating Hamilton. Hamilton's going to make a ton of money next year.
Well,
yes, they are.
Yeah,
Ottawa is new. It's cool. It's wonderful.
Right.
You know,
they don't sell out every single game this year, that's going to be an absolute shame. I mean, if they don't pull that off, I don't know what's going to happen in Ottawa going down the road. Especially with only 23,000 seats.
Yes. I agree with you, Munate. So I hope that they sell out too, sell some tickets, because if they don't, we don't know what's going to happen to Ottawa.
But
well,
speaking of new stadiums, who here is not excited to see the Eastern Final, Toronto and Hamilton at Tim Hortons Field, and see the Argos get a chance with the final ball, you know, with the ball at the end of the game with a minute left, Ricky Ray trying to go for the game-winning touchdown and get revenge. Tell me
that's
not going to happen next year.
Man, that's it right there.
I totally see that coming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
I wouldn't discount Montreal that much right now, guys. I agree. You know what? That's what I'd like to see. I won't lie to you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to see. But realistically speaking, I just don't see that this guy Pop in charge a little while longer. Even though many know that he isn't a willing coach, like we all know that he doesn't want to be the coach. But the improvements that he made in the short term, you know, I look at the improvements Hamilton made. Toronto has a lot of catching up to do. I'm an Argo fan, but I'm also a realist. And, you know, mm-hmm. the Argos, as far as improvement in their team and their play and the organization, they literally took a step back from what they were when the season started to the way it ended, in my opinion. They took a step back.
But so you mean right now you feel like they're a step behind from where they were at the beginning of last season?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Oh, I don't know about that. Yeah. I wouldn't say
100%. They don't.
Yeah.
I don't think that
their defense is going to get better next year? Because their defense
well,
was terrible even the year
see,
before.
Manasseh, I think we're saying the same thing, bud. I think we're saying the same thing. The reputation of the defense last year when the season started, I think, was overblown, obviously, because Jones proved that the defense wasn't as good as everybody thought it was, and look what he turned. Look how it ended. They got to rebuild.
Yeah,
they gave up guys they should never have given up, and these are guys that are hard to replace.
Oh.
Experienced CFL defenders. You know that's why
Brandon
I'm saying
Isaac
they're not
one of them.
You know that's why I'm saying this year it's not about the coach. I'm talking about the players now. They need to get back to where they were at the beginning of last year because they made a couple of mistakes, at least a couple, if not three or four, in defenders that they lost or gave away. You know, guys that I respect a lot.
So before these last two seasons, has it been Chris Jones making all the decisions on defense as far as
well,
player personnel?
Well, Manasseh, you know he had the title of assistant GM, so that must and even the head coach didn't have that title.
But I'm saying so, like, who had the final say when it came to?
I think that Milanovic couldn't wait to see Jones leave. In
bye
my
bye
opinion,
now.
Are you saying bye, Chris?
No, I'm saying that Milanovic was saying that to Chris Jones. Bye-bye now.
Oh, so you agree with me then?
100%.
You
know that I think Jones had too much to say, and he had
Barker
to go.
Barker was happy too.
Well, they won't be. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Frank after that Guelph game is I think when perhaps Milanovic made up his mind when he had to go in front of the media and give a lousy, lousy explanation as to why they suspended two of their starters the night before the game. And that came straight from Jones. And he also was pretty uncomfortable explaining why they let Isaac go, or McCullough. And, you know, Hamilton picked them up. So I think that kind of was the writing on the wall as far as their relationship goes. It's hard for a coach to come out there and say, because of personal reasons, we've decided to let these guys go. What? I mean, what? Are you kidding me? Two starters?
A night before a game. A night before a game.
Yeah, that's screwed up. So, you know, I think right there, you put a coach in a very uncomfortable position. It's not as if Jones had to go out there and be the head and speak on the behalf of the team. It had to be Scott. So, you're right in that sense. I think he was happy probably halfway through the season to say, you know what, if this guy wants to leave at the end of the year, we're not going to stop him. We're not going to offer him more money. We're not going to do nothing. He can go get a head job somewhere else. Now, mind you, for Jones at the same time refused the same head job that he was offered in Montreal just before the Argos got him, right? So at that time, everything was rosy. I mean, Scott wanted him. They gave him the deal to be the assistant GM. That's how bad they wanted him. But they also saw how perhaps disruptive he can be on the actual team. And he kind of pushed his weight around, I think, a little bit too much. So I don't know if that's going to play out in Edmonton. I don't know if, you know, the GM is going to – I mean, I'm assuming that he's going to listen to the coach, and when the coach comes and says, I don't want this guy on the team, or let's get somebody else, he might listen. But Jones is not – doesn't have a track record, at least not with Toronto, what he's shown in the last year, that he's that type of coach. You know, like Chris said, he's got a pretty big chip on his shoulder. And I don't know if it's going to work out for him in Edmonton. I really don't. I'm hoping for the Edmonton fans it does, but I'm happy
I just hope that Chris Jones don't kind of get into a disfavorable situation with his star receiver, because, you know, if you lose your star receiver or that receiver want to be traded or get the mouth, you know, open up his mouthpiece, then, you know, that can be something terrible for the coaches too.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I just hope that he don't, because I'm like this. I'm a huge Fresh Steps fan, and I believe they need to put some people around him to make that team better. I'm rooting for Edmonton, but if they don't get better, if I was Steps, I'd be asking for a trade, because he only got so many years left that he could play. I'm sorry.
Man. I mean, I am still.
If Fresh Steps was on, like, the Riders or even in Toronto, like, on a team that was winning or a team that people, like, paid attention to. I mean, think about how big of a star he'd be. Like, most CFL fans don't even know who Fred Stamps is just because he's on Edmonton. And nobody likes Edmonton. Edmonton's always been the most boring team to watch, especially if it's at Edmonton. Those
well,
are the
let,
worst games to ever watch.
Let's help the fans that don't know who Fred Stamps is. Let's help them out and understand who he is. He's only probably one of the best receivers in the league. That's all he is. You know, he's only one of the best receivers in the league. And you put one of the best receivers in the league on a Toronto or on a Montreal or on a Saskatchewan or a BC or you know, you put him on any team that has a decent quarterback and a decent team. That guy is the guy, he's the go-to guy on at least 7 of the 9 teams that are out there right now.
Thank you.
I don't think that Fred Stamps has a bad quarterback right now.
Right.
No, he doesn't.
He's just on a boring team that nobody likes. That's the only problem.
Yes. Well,
like,
there's more than the quarterback.
Guys, everybody on the show right now, who honestly likes watching Edmonton Eskimo games? Does anybody,
I actually
does anybody
really
get
enjoy
excited
watching.
To watch one?
Well, I like it.
I like
Riley.
Watching them.
I like watching them because I like to see Fresh Steps get his yards, but just watching them as a team, no, they're boring.
Yeah,
well, I hope you didn't
people
hear me
Edmonton
say that it's only about the quarterback. I hope you didn't hear me say only it's about the quarterback, because they've got a good quarterback. They don't have a good front line.
Right.
They don't have a good front line. And when Stamps, I love watching Edmonton just because of Stamps. The guy's going to make 2-3 catches a game that are just unbelievable. But unfortunately, it's the drive before they go 2-3 and out. You know, that's the problem. You know, like.
Yep.
You know, he's got to be on a team where those sensational catches are a part of something bigger. And unfortunately in Edmonton, when the only thing that happens is Fred Stamps makes an incredible catch to do what? To basically
go
take him another 15 yards, right? To be, you know.
Right, exactly.
You know.
Yep.
The guy, as he watches his quarterback get ground into the ground and just, you know, beat to dust pretty much.
Exactly. So it's not about
Stamps
the quarterback.
Stamps wanted to actually come back and play the last 4 games when he's injured, but they told him what was the use. Why? Because he wanted
and
to help his
for
team.
Them. And good for them for doing
that. I don't think he wanted to come back to help his team out. I think he wanted to get his incentive on his contract. I think that's why he wanted to play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you know what? But you know what? He was out the last games, and he still led the league, being out 4 games. So that's how much Fred Stamps mean to the Edmonton Eskimos. So they need to do whatever they need to do to put some playmakers around him, get that offensive line built up. They can be contenders easily. They just need to bring in the right people to support that whole team. That's all they need to do.
Mike, can you imagine what it'd be like if he wasn't triple teamed?
Ooh, man.
Man.
Yeah, you know what it's like when a receiver who is that good is not triple teamed or even let in the open? Just look up G. Roy Simon in the Grey Cup.
There you go.
Superman.
He was twice. He
was
constantly double teamed when he was in BC because he was such a dangerous threat. He goes to Saskatchewan. Yes, he's off a step, whatever else, but they've got Getzlaff, they got Dressler, they got Smith. Who the hell is Hamilton going to cover out there? They leave G. Roy wide open down the middle, and boom, he's in the end zone.
Twice.
Wow. Twice.
Yep.
Okay.
First two Grey Cup touchdowns in his life.
Exactly. He's never had a Grey Cup touchdown. Why? Double and triple coverage when he was in BC. It wasn't because we didn't take care of him. It was because everybody else paid attention to him.
Paid attention to him, yep. I showed
him. And in his last Grey Cup, nobody paid attention to him because he was number four.
Yep.
Nobody expected him to do anything.
So can you imagine if you have the talent of Stance and you end up in that situation?
Man.
Saskatchewan?
Yeah, but no matter what, he's going to get double-teamed because you put him in Saskatchewan right now with Dressler, Getzlaff, and Smith, he's the number one receiver.
Yep.
He's the best there is.
Oh, my gosh. That team's going to average 50 points a game. That's wow.
Yes, they are.
But my point is he is the one that's always going to get double coverage. So his numbers aren't going to accelerate that much better regardless of where he goes.
I don't know, Chris. I don't think you can double cover when you got that. If you had those four guys, there's no way you'd have to just hope to God that you guys can, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
All right, so let me put something out there for everyone. Let me see what you guys think, right? If let's just rank as a fan, just if you're watching a game on TV, what are your favorite matchups to watch? And what I mean by that would be like, say, Toronto at Hamilton or a Calgary and Saskatchewan. Or what's your top three favorite games, depending where they're at, like that you'd want? That would be must-watch TV for you as far as a CFL fan.
Well, I'll go first. Toronto and Hamilton. That's just a given, you know. Also, I last year I developed a lot of respect for the Banjo Bowl. That would be my number two, Winnipeg and Saskatchewan.
Yep.
I developed a lot
always
of respect.
Always a good game.
I developed a lot of respect for that, and the rest. I would say would be tied. If Edmonton were a better team, the Alberta Bowl used to be really interesting. But Edmonton
on.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah, that's my opinion. That's what it is.
Wait. At Edmonton or at Calgary? I gotta see.
No. At Calgary, when Edmonton had a good team.
You're right.
But that's no good now. Like that doesn't fly now. It doesn't really matter.
No.
So now, basically, I think Saskatchewan and BC is a game that would be fun to watch in BC.
Always is. Mm-hmm. That's my number one favorite right there, BC and Saskatchewan in BC.
Wow.
BC does not have a natural rival in this.
Exactly.
League.
As Montreal does not.
Nope.
Well, they
but
will
you
with
know
Ottawa.
What, though? I was just about to say that. I think for years to come, that Ottawa-Montreal matchup, that's going to be a bond burner for sure.
Yeah.
That's
and
be
BC
a
gets
bond
left
burner.
Out in the cold again. We won't have a Labor Day game. That's going to be our bye week.
Well, you will be left out in the cold because your team will be Alaska.
Hey, Frank, you took the words right out of my mouth.
You're welcome, buddy.
I'm waiting for it.
It's going to be Alaska, I'm telling you. Oh, man.
We need somebody in the West that we can be a rival with. And, you know, Edmonton, Calgary, Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, natural rivals.
They are. You're right.
For decades, BC has nobody.
So BC and Calgary don't have a real, like, rivalry?
We have a hate on for each other. There's no... We have a hate on for each other, no different than Saskatchewan and BC, no different than BC and Edmonton. I mean, growing up, I grew up in the Hugh Campbell, not Hugh Campbell, who's that other guy that was pissed me off? Anyhow, but Edmonton was, like, dominant, and it just annoyed the hell out of me because we couldn't
Tom
beat
Wilkinson?
Them. Nobody could. Yeah, it was just disgusting. And so I like to see Edmonton lose no matter what. But lately they've been getting beat up so bad, I kind of feel sorry for them, kind of like Winnipeg.
Yeah, me too.
Speaking of Winnipeg, I just want to be on the record one more time saying this. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers are going to be in the playoffs in the Western Division next year. That's a guarantee. Watch. Calgary's going to fall out of the playoffs. I'm telling you.
Well, that's going to be interesting.
Put that on the bank now. I mean it. Ooh. Calgary's going to have such a bad year, I can see it coming really bad.
Oh. Yes, sir.
I don't know, man. I'd take that
money. You do realize who they just signed, right?
I'll take money on that.
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
They
I'll
signed
take money
McPherson.
On
that. You don't think that that
Watch.
Guy... You don't
By
think
the
that
end
that
of this season...
Gonna...
Yep. Go ahead. I'm just going to say right
you
away, at the end
A-Mac,
of the season, they're going
to
miss A-Mac's the playoffs,
gonna
and John Huffnagel's going
to
retire as a head coach. He's going to become GM, and... Dave Dickinson is going to be their coach next year.
Manasseh,
I'm telling you.
Huffnagel will not have to retire if they don't make the playoffs.
No, they're not going to fire him. They're never going to fire him. He's the best thing
that's
happened
retired.
To him since Wally
he
Bono.
He will be retired.
So.
Well, no, are you serious with McPherson signed? You think that's the case?
No,
I think McPherson's a better quarterback than the one they
lost. The reason I'm saying is because of their defense. I'm not even worried about their offense. I think their offense is going to be inconsistent just because of their quarterbacks. If they're going to start out with Tate's going to get hurt at some point, and they're going to go to Bo Levi.
McPherson,
guys, what has McPherson done in the CFL that makes you think he's going to be a great quarterback?
Honestly. He's got more experience than all of the other little rookies that are coming in.
Yeah, when you say experience, doing what? Running the ball on second and short or on the goal line? That's not experience. Experience is playing full games. Starting, that's experience. He didn't do anything. And the games he did start,
well,
go
fair.
Back and
that's
look at
fair.
All of them. He's always had subpar numbers. I mean, I'm just being real. His last
and
game as a full
what?
Starter didn't do anything.
You're right, I looked at his stats. But with McPherson have a year under his belt being a starter down in the AFL, that's what's going to contribute to his good offensive play and offensive passing in the CFL. He's going to be more quicker. The snap's going to come off more faster, and he's going to get rid of the ball quicker. That's one of the reasons why he went down south to play, to get better.
But when we talk about quarterback in the CFL, you
got
to know how to read defenses, and you got to be able to react to what CFL defenses do. And that's only going to happen through going out there and playing in it. You can watch film all you want to. You can try playing other leagues. It's not going to simulate being out there on the field.
You're saying the same thing that I said about Kolaros, and I have to remember that basically we're talking almost the identical situation where there's a lot of talent, but has it been proven as a number one?
Yep. But there's a difference, though. Like, both these guys
have
their
talent.
You're wrong, Frank. Frank,
okay.
You're not correct there. Because
okay.
Adrian McPherson, how many years did he have behind AC? One?
Right,
two?
Exactly.
No, he had six.
Like five. Or six,
five or
yeah.
six.
Okay.
Okay, but he's got a lot more experience, and yes, it may be third down, but he has watched a hell of a lot more CFL. He's experienced a hell of a lot more, and he went down south and got some serious good playing time, and he come back. He's going to come
and
out
if you're,
and light
and
it
if you're
up
right, Christopher, if you're right, then Calgary's making the playoffs no problem. If you're wrong, then maybe Manasseh's right, and they don't make the playoffs because – I don't know how I don't know if Winnipeg can improve that quickly, Manasseh, but that's, you know, neither here nor there. Which leads me to what I wanted to finish the show with, and I don't want to go do this show without mentioning this name and discussing him. His name was raised, Anthony Calvillo, AC, one of the greatest quarterbacks in CFL history. Probably this week will be announcing his retirement, and, concussion aside, he's done everything that a quarterback could be asked to do. Tell me a little bit what you guys think of Calvillo and what you think of him and why you think he'll be in the Hall of Fame and what great memories you have, maybe even positive and negative. And I'll start by saying I think the worst moment that guy had in his career was the first couple of games this year when he was throwing the ball and his guys weren't receiving it. They weren't where they were supposed to be, and the dejected look on his face. That had to be the worst moment in his life in football. And I hope he can erase that from his mind because I sure don't want that to be his lasting memory as a Montreal Alouette and the great Canadian Football League quarterback that he was. Chris, you want to start with AC?
Do you want me to start, really?
I'll start.
I want to speak, but not first.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll start. I'm not shy. You're not trying to prison. I'm not saying that.
You're not
going to
like what I say.
Well,
it's your opinion. I don't care.
My first recollection of Anthony was when he started off with the Las Vegas team, the Vegas team.
The Gamblers.
Right. It was, what was their name again? Bandits? No.
The Gamblers. The Gamblers.
No, they weren't. They were the Las Vegas Posse.
Posse. Yeah, it was the Posse. That's right. It was the Posse. I remember him starting with them, and I thought, this guy's got an arm. You know, that's all we heard of out of him. It wasn't accurate yet. It wasn't fine-tuned. And then, you know, when we folded with the, you know, south of the border of expansion, he came up to Hamilton and shocked the hell out of me. He didn't look like a quarterback in the pocket. It didn't look right. He's not that kind of a athletic-looking type, especially when he moves around. You know what I mean, guys? I don't know if it's just
He wasn't a prototypical athlete. He didn't look athletic.
And then when you put the fact that he didn't have his accuracy down yet, I was wondering, what were they doing? What are the Ticats doing with this guy? And I can't remember who the coach was for him up there at the time when he started out with the Cats, but they certainly did a fine job on him. And I have to give credit to the maybe not justified, but I have to give credit to the Hamilton Ticat franchise, because if it wasn't for them picking him up and giving him a chance, because remember what he was playing behind. He was playing behind McManus at the time, okay? And you never thought this guy would even be a starter with a guy like that starting for the team. So he came up in the tough ranks, and I just can't believe that he turned out so many championships. I never saw him when he first started his career as that type of a caliber player.
Okay, John, let's give somebody else a chance. Who wants to come up next? We don't have much time, guys. We only have a couple of minutes. Sorry, John, I don't mean to sound rude.
No worries. You got 5 minutes.
I'll jump in here now just because somebody had to make him look good. I think Anthony Calvillo is the second worst quarterback that I've seen in the league. Okay? I don't like the man. I'm dead serious here. His longevity in this league is for the simple reason that he goes in there and he looks at his 1, 2, 3 reads, throws it to the crowd. If he doesn't find his 1, 2, or 3rd read, it's in the crowd. He does not stay in the pocket that extra second to allow his receiver to get open. He's not willing to stay there that extra second and take a hit, 1, 2, 3, into the crowd. That allowed him to play for 20 years. It didn't allow Dickinson. It didn't allow Dunnigan. It didn't allow any of these other players, Buck Pierce, all these quarterbacks who are willing to stay in the pocket, take a hit to let their receiver get open so that they could make that play. Anthony Calvillo, 1, 2, 3, into the crowd. I don't like him. I'm glad he's gone.
Okay. Next.
Okay. Can I respond to that? Because that's ridiculous.
Please,
This guy, just as a character guy on and off the field, I think he's one of the best guys the CFL's ever had. What he went through with the whole cancer thing and how he overcame that and played through that was just remarkable. And for me, when I first came and started following the league, he was the best player, and he was the one guy every team was afraid to go up against because they knew just how good he was. And at the end of the day, say what you want. For those who want to know more about him, go to TSN CFL web page, and they have a video, a documentary based upon his life and what he went through. Anybody who sees that and can come away not having respect for the man, I don't know. But I think he's a great person on off the field. And
I respect
and to your
the
point,
man. Don't get me wrong.
Look at the guys
I
you name. None
man.
Of the guys you name won more championships than him or were in more Grey Cups than him. So say whatever you want to say. He's the best quarterback to see.
All he ever did was win. That's all he ever did. All he did was win.
And
he
that's
had
all
no
that matters.
Flash. No flash, you know, and that's another thing that you might say against him is that he wasn't a fancy guy. Mike, you didn't get your chance. Please, step up.
All I want to say is bye-bye, AC. That's it? He wasn't one of my favorite players at all. No.
No? And for what reason?
Well, good
same reason
like
as Chris?
He don't stand in the pocket. He throws the ball in the crowd when his receivers don't get there. He just wasn't one of my favorite players. I have no comment on him.
He pouts. He has temper tantrums. He sits on the bench by himself. He doesn't watch the game. He doesn't interact with his team. He wants to be left alone. Everybody thinks he's going to be a great coach. He's never watched a football game. All he does is sit there with a towel over his head.
Just the disrespect. that is going
total
to miss
disrespect.
This is unreal.
Said,
for the greatest quarterback in the history of the league.
And you know what?
That's taking it a little too far. I don't know if he's one of the best quarterbacks. We got a minute left, guys. I don't know if he's one of the best quarterbacks ever.
He's my second best.
What are you guys talking about? He threw 76,000 yards. I don't care what you say. Anyone who does that, that's amazing.
Look how long he's been in the league. He's been in the league for 27 years. If you let Lule be in the league 27 years, he's going to break that record easily.
Okay, well, so you're telling me that in the playoffs, when he went up against back-to-back years, BC and Toronto in the Eastern Final, each final he put up 500 yards, four TDs. They averaged like almost 50 points. Please, what are you talking about, guys? This guy is one of the greatest players the CFL's ever had.
Look at his completion ratio.
Okay, everything you're saying about him, you could say about Ricky Ray then if you're going to go down that route. Because Ricky Ray does the exact same thing. So what are you talking about?
Okay, well, there you go. Well, listen, let's leave it there. I'm surprised how the disrespect that he gets, but you know it is what it is, and you know what, we all have our own impressions of what's important. What's important in a position player, quarterback is probably one of the toughest positions to play. My name's Frank Stanishi for Mike, Manasseh, John, Christopher. Rob wasn't here today. Bruce, John Inch. Listen, thank you for tuning in, everyone, and we hope to see you again next time. This has been Candid Frank Live. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again next time, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays.